Didn't like them because they spent so much time out in the fields with the sheep that they smelled bad. Really, when they would come into town, people would hold their nose because they just smelled bad. They smelled like the sheep. And people would make disgusting comments toward them about the way they smelled and the fact that they spent so much time with their sheep and things like that. These were the guys who would raise a lamb from birth and watch over it and care for it, many times holding it on their lap at night, watching this lamb grow. And these were the guys who had to look over their flock and pick the best of the best of the best to be sacrificed. I don't know if you've got pets, but it's kind of like you looking around your dogs or your cats or your pets and saying, I've got to pick the favorite one, the one I love the most, and take him down to the temple and have it sacrificed. These were the people who literally would beg and plead with God every day, Lord, let the Messiah come and put an end to this. I don't know if I can take it anymore. Raising my favorite sheep, and then taking that sheep down to the temple, and the priest looking at it and said, ain't you got anything better than this? The priests were always finding fault with their sheep, always criticizing, well, they're not quite enough meat here, and they're not standing there, and the rib cage isn't just right. The humiliation that these guys had to go through, being the outcast of society, being the ones that were discriminated against, being the ones who told, you smell bad, would you just get away from me? And these guys, surprise, these were the ones who were the first ones to hear about the Messiah. The ones that everybody else had just kind of forgotten about and didn't care about anymore. They were the first ones to hear about the Messiah, and everything about the birth of Christ was a surprise. So there are a few things we can learn in this passage, and if you have your Bibles open, you might want to kind of follow along. Take a look at verse 8 in this passage. They were out in that same region, Scripture says, in that same region, they were out keeping watch over their flock at night. So there's a principle I think we can learn from this. And that is, first of all, find out what God is doing in your region. Find out what God is doing where you are. Find out what God is doing in Iceland. Do you think God is doing anything in Iceland, by the way? What? Yes. Yeah. Is God doing anything at Iceland University? Yes. Nate mentioned when I started here in 2003, there were about 90 students at best involved with the Center of Religious Life. We could fill two pews, and that was about it, you know. 90 students at best involved in the Center of Religious Life. Is God doing something in Iceland? Yes. So one of the first things you want to do is to take a look at what God is doing right where you are. Because so many times we think, I've got to be where the action is. I've got to go where it's happening. I've got to be where it's going on. And I've got to make my plans to go down there. I'm sure the shepherds, if they had had their choices, you know, they're out on this hillside and they can see Bethlehem down there and they know what's going on because all these people, they could see the people traveling into Bethlehem and the lights are on and there's so many people in town. There's so much going on in town. And they're like, I'm stuck out here on this hillside. But it was in that region, when they were keeping watch over their flock, that God chose to send his angels to them. I wonder how many times we've missed the really big things because we're always trying to position ourselves to be where the action is instead of letting God use us where we are. Instead of letting God use us right where we are. Because, you know, when God wants to use you, he'll find you. And that brings us to the next thing. Take a look at they were out in that same region keeping watch over their flock by night. I think the principle we can learn from this is that opportunity comes to those who are just being responsible, doing what God has told them to do, They're doing their job. These guys were out there taking care of the sheep. They weren't worried about what was going on down in town. They had a responsibility, and they were doing it. Maybe it wasn't the most glamorous job in the world, but they were still doing it. Maybe it wasn't the most exciting thing, but they were still doing it. They were fulfilling their responsibilities, and God chose to use them right there. Maybe they were a little tempted to go downtown to see what was going on, but God chose to use them. I think sometimes we're always chasing rainbows and looking for that golden opportunity, and we miss what God is doing right in our very presence. We miss what God is doing right here in Iceland. We miss what God is doing right here in religious life because we're always looking for something better, looking for the golden ring. Opportunity comes to those who are fulfilling their responsibility. You know, the shepherds believed in angels. Did you know that? Not all of Judaism believed in angels at that time. Some of the Pharisees and the rabbis, they didn't believe that angels existed. They didn't believe there were such things. They didn't believe in angels. But the shepherds would actually give each other a blessing. When they would go out to keep watch over their flock at night, they would say, "May the angels watch over you and keep you safe." And it was to these guys that the angels appeared. So I think maybe the point is to live fully in the presence. Live where you are right now. Instead of thinking, someday I'll get my shot. Someday I'll get my opportunity. Someday I'll be able to achieve that. Instead of waiting for that someday to come, why not let God use you right now, right where you are? In the dorm where you live, in the classes that you attend, in the people that you come into contact with, in the things that you say and do every day. Because you know, a lot of us think, I'm nobody special, I'm nothing glamorous, I'm nobody significant, I'm not a Nate Bebout, for crying out loud. Not everybody can be, right? That's right. But you know what? God made you to be who you are for Him. Let Him use you. Right where you are, right where you are, when God wants to use you, He will bless you. I mean, take a look at the Blessed Virgin Mary's response when the angel appeared to her. Her response was, "Let it be done as the Lord has said. I'll do whatever God has said." Are you willing to say that? Are you willing to answer that prayer? Are you willing to make that response to God? Let God use me right here, right where I'm at, right now. If you're following along, take a look at verses 9 and 10. You see, God's opportunities are sometimes a little frightening. The angel appeared to them, and they were terrified. Now, don't kid yourself. I think you would be too. Kind of out there late at night, you know, the fire's burning, it's quiet, and all of a sudden this angelic being appears in front of you, all lit up and glowing and everything. They were radiant. Scripture says they were radiant. I think you'd be just a little frightened too. I'm a testimony to the fact that sometimes when God calls you, it's a little scary. Because when you deal with God, you're dealing with the supernatural. When you deal with God, you're dealing with the miraculous. When you deal with God, you're dealing with someone who is so far beyond our comprehension. It's a little frightening sometimes. Because especially for those of us who think we've got our life planned out, we think we've got it all figured out. I'm going to graduate school. I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to do this job. I'm going to be this way. I'm going to have this career. This is what I'm going to do. Got it all figured out. Got it all worked out. Like a mathematician that worked out with a pencil. You know, got it all planned out. I was one of those people. I had my life planned out. And God took my life in a very dramatic, different direction. And it was a little scary. I was studying aeronautical engineering at Purdue University. I had my life planned out. I was going to be an engineer. I was going to work on the space shuttle. I was going to do that kind of stuff. But God took my life in a whole different direction. It was a little frightening to say, "All right, God, I don't know where it's going to be. I don't know what you're going to do. But I trust you. I'll change my life, I'll change my school, I'll do everything different than what I thought I was going to do. Because, God, I trust you. Kind of like Abraham, when God said to Abraham, I want you to go off to a land that I will show you as you're going. And Abraham had to walk by faith. Are you willing to do that? It's a little frightening when God calls you. It's a little scary when God calls you. I know, but fear is natural. But yet sometimes fear precedes some of the best things in our life. A new job, a new marriage. Sometimes fear precedes some of the best things in our life when we're just a little frightened about stepping out there. But my challenge to you is to not let fear paralyze you. Don't let your fears hold you back. Well, the angels appeared to them, and they were terrified, and the angel says, don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy. You know that, right? You know this passage. You're familiar with that. Bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, the thing you've been praying about, the thing you've been begging God for. The Messiah has come, and you get to find out about it first of all. So the angel tells them what to do, verses 11 and 12. And I think the issue that we can find here, the meaning we can find from this, is that God will make clear his guidance for us in our lives. I think the greater the change, the greater the sign. And there were four confirmations here that the angels gave to the shepherds. Four confirmations. I believe God is a God of order. God has given me a spiritual gift of prophecy, and sometimes he gives me a message to tell someone. And that's all the gift of prophecy is the giving a message from God to a person or to a group of people. And I will always, always, always tell them, look, don't just take my word for it, because you will know this is the voice of God because God will confirm what I'm saying to you. And he always does. Whether he confirms it through a person or through a scripture or through some other activity, God always confirms. The angel gave four different signs to the shepherds on what would happen so that they would know that this was the Christ child. He makes it clear to us. I think sometimes that's during the times that we are most confused and the most difficult struggle we have with God is when God doesn't seem to make sense. When we think we've got God figured out and it just doesn't make sense. When God tells us to do something and it just doesn't make sense. I was at a conference once and they had some liturgical dancers that did a worship dance before the message. And after the dancers had finished dancing, the person got up to introduce the speaker, and they wanted to pray. And they paused, first of all, to say, we want to pray for one of the dancers tonight because she's been diagnosed with cancer. And so they paused. They didn't name the person, didn't point out which one it was or anything, just said one of our dancers has been diagnosed with cancer and we want to pray for them. Then they introduced the speaker and the person went on with the sermon. And you know, I cannot tell you a single word that person said. I can't remember a single thing that person said. But I do remember this. The whole time God was speaking to me. And God said, I have a message for you to give to this dancer. So at the end of the service, I had somebody with me who was a good intercessor. I said, would you come and I want you to pray and intercede while I have to do this. He didn't know what I was doing. I said, just come with me. And he came along. And I went up to the dancers, and they were gathering up their things. I said, could you point out the woman who has cancer? And they pointed her out to me. And so I went over to her, and the guy that was with me immediately put his hand on my shoulder and just started praying silently. And I spoke to her. And I said to her, my dear, God has heard your prayers. He's heard your cries. He's heard your pleas. And God wants me to tell you that he will be with you. And you will go through some pain and you will go through some suffering, but you will survive this. And cancer will not take you away from this world. She immediately began crying. I said, you will know that this is the voice of God speaking to you because God will confirm this message. And I left. I never ever saw her again. She didn't know who I was. I didn't even know her name. But about 6 months later, I heard through a friend of a friend of a friend that she had gone through the chemotherapy, she had lost her hair, she had gotten sick, but the cancer was eradicated. And she went on to have a beautiful family. She went on to have a wonderful life in the blessings of the Lord. Listen, when God wants to use you, He will make it clear. Sometimes, though, we're back to that theology of wait, right? We're back to the theology of waiting. But God will make it clear. When He wants to use you, He'll make it clear what He wants you to do. And then let's jump on down to verse 15, okay? So once you know, you better go. Once God makes it clear to you what He wants you to do, once He gives you that direction, you better go. So the shepherd's like, okay, let's go down there then. They could have made all sorts of excuses. Who's going to watch the sheep? Who's going to take care of our sheep? You know how many people are down there? You know how crowded that place is? Do you know what those people will say to us? You stink. They could have come up with all sorts of excuses. But they didn't. Immediately after the angels went back into heaven, immediately they said, let us go and see this thing that God has revealed to us. And they went right away. When God wants to use you, He will find you. And when God wants to use you, He will make it clear what He wants you to do. And when God makes it clear, you better go and do it. I know there have been a lot of times in my life when God says, I want you to go and do this. And I'm like, well, God, are you really sure? You know, when God called me to ministry, I'm like, I have my life planned out in aeronautical engineering. God, are you really sure? I laid out a fleece before God, and He performed a miracle. They answered that fleece. Yes, this is what I want you to do. And sometimes, you know, God has given me a message to say to people. I'm like, God, are you really sure I should say that? But when you know, you better go. It's called a walk of faith for a reason, to trust God. But then, as you go, you'll know. Abraham had to leave and take that walk of faith, and he didn't know where God was going to take him. He didn't know where he ended up until God showed him each step of the way. Walking by faith is kind of like walking with a flashlight dark at night. It only lights up so much of the path in front of you. It doesn't light your total destination. And so all you got to do is walk to the end of that light. And as you walk, the light moves ahead of you and illuminates the next step and the next step and the next step. That's going in faith with God. So once you know what God wants you to do, you better go. And as you're going, then you'll know. It'll be revealed to you. Then you'll understand. And they did. They didn't hold back. They went down and they found the Christ child just as the angel had told them. I don't know what that was like. I can only guess. And I'm guessing it was pretty special. It was pretty incredible. Everything just as the angel told them came true. They found the baby just like the angel said. And you know, I just have to believe that standing there gazing upon that baby, knowing this is the Christ, this is the Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Christ isn't a name, by the way. Christ is a title. Christ means the anointed one. Christ is a reference to the Messiah. It's a title for the Messiah. So when they said Christ the Lord, they're saying the Messiah is here. To stand there and look at that baby saying, this is the Messiah. This is what we have prayed for hundreds of years. This is the one who has come to save us. Verse 17 then goes on to say, once you know, you're going to want to tell others. Because once they heard about it, they went out and told everybody that they came into contact with. You'll never believe what just happened to us. The angels appeared to us. We were out taking care of our sheep. The angels appeared to us. They told us what to do. We went down there and we found the baby. The child was there. You ever gone to see a good movie? You tell people about it, right? You ever do something that's really, really cool and really, really fun? You tell people about it, right? You ever fall in love with somebody? You tell people about it. You don't just keep it quiet. You tell people about it. When something good happens to you, you tell people about it. So why won't we tell people about stuff that God is doing in our life right now? You know, I prayed for God to help me, and guess what? This is what God did for me. I prayed for God to help me pass that exam, and guess what? I passed the exam. Why don't we tell people the stuff that God is doing in our lives right now? Why don't we tell people about the relationship we have with Him? Why do we keep it quiet? Why are we afraid? I think fear, by the way, is a tactic of the enemy. If he can make you afraid to speak up, he wins. If he can make you afraid to let your light shine, he wins. If he can make you afraid of following God's will, he wins. And I think fear is a tactic of the enemy. So once you know, you better go. And once you go, you will know. And once you know, you need to tell others. Jesus said, you don't light a light and then hide it under a bushel. You let it shine for everyone to see. Let your word be faithful and true to what God is doing in your life. Verse 18 then, of course, once you hear about it, they're going to think about it. Everybody who heard, they were amazed at what the disciples said. That word amazed just wasn't like, oh, wow, like David Copperfield just made an elephant disappear. It's not that kind of amazement. It's not that kind of amazement. When that word that's used for amazement here is, that is so profound, I really have to think about that. Amazement means I've really got to give some deep consideration. They're saying the Messiah has been born. The Messiah that's going to redeem us. They're saying the Messiah has been born. And so when it talks about them being amazed, it means they really had to stop and think about it. I think people are still thinking about it today. That's why the whole world seems to stop and stand still at Christmas time. Don't you agree? Last night they had the lighting of the tree at Rockefeller Plaza and the Rockettes doing their thing, you know, and all that stuff. But they still took time to sing some of the sacred Christmas carols. And still recognize, they still put a star on the top of the tree, and the star representing the light of Christ that comes into the world. Even the pagans maybe don't understand everything about the Christmas story. For them, they think it's about the fat elf with reindeer and a train that takes you to the North Pole and all that kind of stuff. Maybe they don't understand, but the world is still mesmerized at Christmas. They're still amazed, and they still have to stop, and they still have to think about it. And I can tell you something. Once you hear the word of God, you can never get away from Him. Sometimes I think we're afraid to go out and speak up. We're afraid to say anything. We're afraid people are going to think we're crazy. But look, your job, maybe your job is just to say the words. Maybe your job is just to be the testimony. Because once you plant the word of Christ in their life, His Holy Spirit takes over and does the rest. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's Christ who reaps the harvest. So maybe your job is just to plant a few of the seeds and leave the rest up to God. So once you tell them about it, people are going to be amazed. They have to stop and think about it. But I can tell you this. Once you've let God use you, even in the smallest way, your life will never be the same. Verse 20. They went back out to the fields, but they remembered this. They remembered the whole thing. They remembered this for the rest of their lives. They were never, ever the same. Once you let God use you, your life will never, ever be the same again. They went back to the same work. They went back to the same place where they were grazing their sheep. But they were forever different. And maybe that's what God wants you to do. Just to take His message with you wherever you go. Let your light shine wherever you are, And once God uses you, your life is different. I can only imagine, I don't know, I can only imagine, though, that these shepherds told this story over and over and over again. Wouldn't you? And as Jesus grew up, and he selected his disciples, and he began traveling around teaching and performing miracles, I can imagine that those shepherds were saying, "You see that guy over there? I was there the night he was born. And you know what happened? These angels appeared to us when we were out in the fields with our sheep. And every time Jesus performed a miracle, I can imagine them gathering their grandchildren up on their laps when they're old and feeble and saying, let me tell you what happened to me one day. And they tell the story over and over and over again. Their life had been changed forever. So, it all comes down to this. If you want to be changed forever, worship him fully this Christmas. The word worship simply means that he is worthy of your service. He is worthy of you being that testimony. He is worthy of you giving your life in devotion and commitment to him. He is worthy. And really, when it comes down to it, we're the ones that need to be made worthy. So if you want your life to be changed forever and learn what it means to be in worship to God. And it's not just the music we sing. It's the way we live every day. It's letting God use you right where you are. It's letting God take you in to transform somebody else's life. It's letting God use you as a testimony and a witness. It's letting God work through you. Let me pray. God, as we go into this Christmas holiday, our singular prayer is that you will continue to use us wherever we are, wherever we're going and whatever we're doing, that you would use us, God, to be a testimony and a light for you. And Lord, we just ask that you would make our lives different from this day forward and forevermore, that our lives would be changed. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.